Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star zero. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Okay. Time to get started with the last core part of the seduction roadmap, which is putting it all together. So what we're going to be doing now is I'm going to be giving you an overview of everything. So it's very exciting. Everyone's on the call. It's 6 p.m. and we're going to get started right now. Okay. The last part of the core of the seduction roadmap is all about putting everything together. It's about how to use the seduction roadmap and adapt it to the most common situations you're going to find, being nighttime approaches and daytime approaches. So in the video curriculum, we also go over social circle and other ways to apply it. But for this core call, we're going to be going over daytime and nighttime approaches. So my goal on this call is to give you an overview of a couple of things. First, I want to go through the auxiliary skills that are necessary for mastering the seduction roadmap at the highest level. These are things like calibration, getting outside of your comfort zone, getting comfortable, getting sexual in the right order, all sorts of really nifty things that are a part of the seduction roadmap but don't really fall into any one piece. They're more kind of skills to be working on and developing an understanding of as you go along. Because the better you get at these skills, the more success you'll have with the seduction roadmap when you're applying it, and the easier it'll be to kind of drop the structural linear kind of thought process and start to just flow through things a little bit more naturally. So these skills are really, really important, and that's going to be the first part of our call. And I'm going to give you a thorough understanding of how to develop these skills, what they are, and how they relate to the seduction roadmap process. The second part of our call, we're going to be going over how to apply the seduction roadmap at night. So we're going to be talking about cold approach on this call. We're going to be talking about a nighttime bar or club, you know, where you're meeting a girl in a group or by herself, but it's out in a kind of party time atmosphere, and there's a couple of things to look for. There's a couple of different roads to seduction that we can go through, and there are a lot of different results that we can have based on how we navigate the seduction roadmap. We're also going to go in the third part of our call into the daytime seduction roadmap and how to start prepping things sexually, because during the daytime you're not generally going to be getting same night lays, but you can get same day lays, and I'll talk about that as a map at the end of this call. And then we'll kind of recap things, and if you have any questions, remember to send them in so that I can answer them. So let's get started with the skills. And the first skill that we're going to be talking about is the skill of calibration. And calibration refers to the process of understanding when to use what tactics and techniques based on real-world experience. So calibration basically is how you apply the seduction roadmap. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get out there and you're going to have all these tools, and they're all wonderful and they're all amazing. And you're going to go out there and you're going to get into different real-world interactions with women. You might meet a woman at a cocktail party. You might meet a woman at a bar. You might meet a woman during the day. You might meet a woman online. And now you're going to have to figure out when to use what tactics, what's socially acceptable and relevant. Those are generally your two guiding factors when it comes to learning calibration. You're looking to find what's socially acceptable and what is relevant to the situation right now, meaning what makes sense, what isn't weird or awkward or makes the girls think they're part of some sort of social experiment or anything like that. Unfortunately, you can't learn calibration from a book or an audio course or a DVD. Unfortunately, the only way to learn calibration is through the real world and through real life experience. So The process of calibration starts with an understanding that at first you're probably going to be a little off. So you want to kind of think about what the application should look like. So take a idea like sexual framing. When you hear the examples, you hear the independence and the strawberry fields test and the idea of going for what you want and being passionate or being a physical type, all of that stuff sounds really good, right? But you can use it the wrong way. Let's take the example of framing a girl using a double bind as either being physical or emotional. This is a major part of the seduction process because you have to figure out what kind of representational system she responds to better. But if you're just talking to a girl for 2 or 3 minutes and you go, so are you like an emotional person or a physical person? It's going to be weird and awkward. Or if you ask her, you know, when she's with someone, does she emotionally connect or physically connect? It's going to be strange and you're going to come off like a psychiatrist. But you learn that with calibration. So you want to start thinking about, okay, when would this be appropriate to use? You want to start building what I like to think of as your internal pickup simulator. And your internal pickup simulator is basically this thing that you've built in your mind using your ideas of what's socially acceptable and what's situationally relevant. So, for example, if you're making out with a girl in a cab and you tell her that you're thinking about doing horribly dirty things to her, heading back to her apartment, that's going to go over really well. It's situationally relevant and appropriate. You guys are making out, and you're heading back to her house. If you're talking to her on the street, and she's, you know, laughing at your jokes, and you tell her you want to do horribly dirty things to her, it's not situationally appropriate, and it's not situationally relevant. So you always want to think to yourself, is this appropriate? Is this relevant? If the answer is no, then don't try it. Now, the flip side of that is that sometimes you need to try things in what feels like the wrong place because you need to learn when not to do things and you need to get used to taking on activities, behaviors, and speech patterns that are outside of what you're normally used to. Take, for example, the example of sexual teasing. When most guys hear things like, I don't know who your last boyfriend was, but he clearly didn't spank you enough. Or, you know, I would totally destroy you. Or, you know, I have that effect on women. They think that these are things that, you know, they would never be able to say or pull off. And so they can't form an experience where it's situationally relevant and appropriate. With stuff like that, you have to just trust the placement that you're learning it. So, for example, in sexual attraction, once you've built social comfort and done the other things we're going to talk about today, you can build some sexual attraction even if it feels a little inappropriate. A little inappropriate is generally okay. If it feels really inappropriate and really weird, then those are the things you don't want to do. But luckily for you, none of my tactics are really inappropriate or really weird, so you're all good. But again, the idea is you're going to have to think about this stuff. So I want you to get that in mind as you're reviewing this material and going through it again and again, because you can go through it quite a bit without ever fully mastering it. So you're going to want to review the material a little bit and think about what's situationally relevant in the interaction and what's situationally appropriate, because that's how you build calibration. And then once you see how things work, that's another way that we build calibration. So if something works, then try it again and again until it either stops working or you figure out that that's something that works right in that position. You can start to think about why it works the way it does. Now, the next point kind of is the antithesis of this. It kind of fleshes out that idea. So while we want to calibrate and we want to try things that are outside of what's good, we also need to sometimes try things that make no sense for ourselves. This is the idea of the comfort zone. When it comes to applying the seduction roadmap, a lot of guys have problems because they can't seem to move past what they're comfortable with. There's one student in particular who's been at this now 4 years and is still only talking to waitresses, strippers, and girls who he doesn't have to start a conversation with. No growth can occur in your comfort zone. you're already good at all of that stuff. So if you're in your comfort zone and you don't have the life you want, you need to get out of your comfort zone. You're not all of a sudden going to find that you can live in your comfort zone and achieve the goals that you're looking for. So it's really important that the things that make you uncomfortable, the things that make you uncomfortable that aren't situationally inappropriate and aren't situationally irrelevant, things like approaching women directly, things like starting to talk about sex, things like teasing a girl sexually, things like touching a girl a lot, things like demonstrating interest with statements of intent, things like using sexual qualifiers. All of those things are normal and are situationally appropriate and situationally relevant when you're used in the proper order, which we're going to go through in the second and third part of this call. But those things you need to be trying, because when it comes to getting better with women, you are constantly improving or regressing. There is no such thing as equilibrium when it comes to women. So it's really, really, really important that you are constantly making even the smallest of steps forward consistently, because you want to apply the idea of baby stepping. If you just make small improvements every day, you'll eventually make big improvements. So if you can't approach mixed sets or you can't approach women at all, you want to start with something you can do. So maybe it's going to a bar by yourself. Maybe it's asking a woman for the time. Maybe it's opening 4 sets, even though, you know, it's terrifying to you. Maybe it's running an opener. Maybe it's, you know, telling a woman you're attracted to her. Whatever it is, you want to find the smallest thing that you can do right now that moves you towards your goal. And then once you do that and you get comfortable doing that, you want to add on top of that. A lot of guys are looking for some big epiphany or revelation or kind of anything that will make the process more than what it is. You're looking for the magic bullet, so to speak, and it doesn't exist. There's nothing that's going to make you more comfortable with the things you need to do to get better, which are fairly simple. You need to get out there and do approaches and have things you're working on and ways to track it. It's not rocket science. But you have to be doing it consistently, and you have to be always making progress, because you don't stay the same. You get rusty. You lose the timing and the rhythm and the growth that comes in becoming a guy who is successful with women, which is the biggest part of it, because eventually you want this to become something that you just kind of are as opposed to something you do. And that only happens when your confidence and your results and your process all line up, where you see that what you're doing is getting you results, and you then buy into it more and believe in it more and in terms believe in yourself, which fuels even more success when it comes to women. So getting out of your comfort zone, most important thing you can do when it comes to being sexual and escalating interactions with women. Okay, the next skill is you've got to learn to pay attention to the signals, but not pay too much attention. So what I'm talking about is there's two kinds of guys when it comes to meeting women generally and signals. They're the guys who are completely socially obtuse, meaning the girl could be girl coding her friends, clutching her friend's arm, trying to get away, you know, giving excuses, maybe even giving a phone number just to get away from the guy because she's creeped out. Or, you know, on the other hand, the guy is sitting on the couch with a girl and they're holding hands and he doesn't know how to kiss her, and the girl's like, wow, I really have a, you know, sore neck, or, you know, you've been working out, take off your shirt, let me see, you know, your body. Or, on the other hand, you have the guys who look for every single signal. They think that because a girl brushed her hair off her face that she's attracted, or they think that because a girl said something about having to go to the bathroom that she hates them, or that if the girl doesn't come immediately back, she's done with you forever, or you know, if the girl doesn't immediately comply when you, you know, try to hold her hand or go for the kiss, it's instantly done. And both of those extremes are wrong. You have to learn to pay attention to the signals, but to not get too invested in them. A lot of the time we believe that we're mind readers when we're really not. We think that because we read that this means girls don't like us, or this means girls like us, or that seems like a bad sign, or it felt like the girl became less attracted, that all of those things are true. At the end of the day, all we can do is work with the signals we have moving forward. So you generally, mindset-wise, when it comes to signals, want to think about the idea that you're looking for signals to let you know when to escalate. You're looking for those kind of signals that let you know it's going well. So some common ones are talking to you for longer than 5 minutes if it's a cold approach, touching you, agreeing to move with you is the biggest one. A girl is attracted to you if she agrees to move with you, complimenting you, asking you questions, you know, facing her body language towards you, ignoring her friends to talk to you, you know, continuing the conversation when it starts to lull off. But on the other hand, you don't want to get too much into the signals. You don't want to get too into girls' body language. If girls are not really responding to your touch, then you probably are doing something wrong. But if her feet aren't facing you, or she's not licking her lips or moving her hair or anything like that, then don't worry about that stuff as much. All of those things that are really subconscious, it could be that she's itchy, it could be that her lips are dry, it could be that she's just more comfortable like that. You want to look for the bigger ones, the ones that indicate choice and conscious attraction rather than the ones that indicate subconscious attraction. And then, if you're getting neutral, you want to assume that things are going well and try to escalate. The bare minimum you should be doing when you're talking to girls is trying to escalate to isolation. As long as you're not getting major indicators that girls don't like you. And major indicators that girls don't like you are things like her grabbing her friend. If girls ever do any sort of protective gestures where they like clutch each other's hands or like get between you and their friend or anything like that, you're doing really bad. If they're looking around, they're not making eye contact, they're not really paying attention, they're boxing you out with body language, they're having a conversation amongst themselves that doesn't include you, they're not really responding to questions, they're giving one-word answers, they're, you know, not really listening to what you're saying, they're argumentative, they're outrightly rude, you know, or they're really, really demanding and not testy, then you've got some bad stuff going on. So you've got to learn to kind of differentiate between those two reactions. And if you're getting something neutral, assume it's good and try to move forward to isolation or a phone number exchange or suggesting a bounce. You always want to be trying to move forward, because it's much better to be the guy who tried and failed to get the girl to come home with him than the guy who didn't try and could have. Another skill that will really help you, and that took me a long time to realize was important, was the idea of differentiating push from pull. Understanding when to push and when to pull is integral to mastering the seduction roadmap, because a lot of the skills are what we refer to as pushes, and a lot of them are pulls. And if you don't balance things out, then you can easily lose the power of both. When it comes to pushing and pulling, we want to think about it like a seesaw. So everything that's pushing is kind of pushing the other person up, and everything that's pulling is kind of pulling them back down. You can also think of it as a tug of war, right? You pull them close to the pit, and then you push them away so that they kind of fall down, and then they want to play more. All right, so pushing refers to things like teasing, back turns, takeaways, releases, stuff like that. Stuff where you're essentially giving the girl a negative signal. You're pushing her away. You're rejecting her, so to speak. And pushing should always be done in a friendly, not serious way. You never want the girl to actually think you're rejecting her, but you do want her to get the little rush from being pushed away that allows her to get more comfortable as things escalate more. Now, on the other hand, pulling refers to things like complimenting, qualifying, cold reading, arousing, things that reward the woman and make her feel good. Another way of thinking about this is that pushing is punishing and pulling is rewarding. So we always want to be punishing and then rewarding, or rewarding and then punishing. And when I say punishing, it's not mean-spirited or vindictive. It's just a little bit of bad reinforcement for the alternative shot of emotion that keeps things interesting. So it's really important that you understand that when things are going really well, that's when we want to pull, because that's what's going to escalate the interaction. And when things aren't going as well, that's when we want to push, because that's what's going to escalate the interaction. So, for example, if I, go to kiss a girl and she doesn't go for it, that interaction's not going that well, so I need to push her away. So I might push her away and go, okay, we're not there yet. Now, I'm not going to, reject her or get mean or pout or get angry, but I am going to push her away. I'm going to physically move us away and end all physical contact so that she gets that I'm not happy with it, but I'm not going to let it affect how I talk to her. Now, if, for example, I'm talking to a girl and she starts to compliment me, then I want to pull her in. I want to compliment her or cold read her or give her some touching to validate her and to get her to see that when she is nice to me and when she compliments me or seduces me, she gets rewarded. So we always want to reward them with pulling when they're doing things that we want them to do, and we always want to punish with pushing when they're not doing what we want to do. And that's a good way to differentiate those two. So be aware of the difference between push and pull, because a lot of the time I think guys, they push when they need to pull and they pull when they need to push, and it really kind of messes up their entire interaction. And always remember to balance things out. You want to have the corresponding push for each pull and the corresponding pull for each push. Starting to get sexual is a really difficult thing to teach, I've found, over the last 3 years since I really started to teach the Same Night Lay seminar. And I've been really interested in how to bring sexuality into a conversation in a subtle way, because bringing up sex by itself does not guarantee you get laid. But bringing up sex in a comfortable, fun, flirty way that engages the woman and gets her to not only go along with it, but to escalate things as well, really is the best thing you can do for your game outside of telling girls that you're trying to get in their pants. So I, over the last 3 years, I've put together a rough guideline of how to start verbally bringing up sex, starting with really light stuff that will never be misinterpreted, and getting all the way to dirty talk. So I want to take a few minutes now to give you a rough guideline of how to bring up sex as a subject, using the actual techniques that we've learned in the previous 4 Seduction Roadmap core calls. I'm going to give you a rough idea of what order they go in and kind of where they work in the phases. So first, we inject sexuality using teasing, sexualized teasing, and jokes. And when I say jokes, I mean things like reverse gender stereotypes. I might tell a girl that she's not going to get lucky tonight because I'm on my period. Or I might use labeling or pushbacks to tell a girl that she's way too prude for me because I just got back from a Mayan orgy. Or I might use a role play to talk about how me and the girl had a crazy sex life and then I started cheating on her with the maid. But the point is that it's not going to be serious. It's not going to be directed at her. It's not going to be creepy. It's not going to be sexually needy. Teases, jokes, role plays. Then we want to use innuendo. And innuendo refers to both tonal and phonetic and turn of phrase things that can be interpreted sexually. For example, I might ask a girl if she wants to come with me tonight, and a little extra emphasis on the word come. Or I might, I ask a girl what she's doing later tonight and she says, I'm going to get some coffee. I go, oh, going to get some coffee. Is that what they're calling it now? And the innuendo is that she's going to get laid. Or she might say, I'm going to bed. And I might say something like, I'll put you to bed. But the idea is that you're just hinting at the sex. You're not actually bringing it up, and you're not actually getting sexual yet. Then The third thing you want to do, and this is still in the attraction phases, is sexual storytelling. And sexual storytelling could be an embarrassing sexual story. It could be a funny sexual story. It could be a sexual story that happened to a friend. But the key is you want to get the girl to then reciprocate and tell a sexual story of her own, because that kind of stuff is what will really make the woman start to get into her own seduction. After that, you want to use the sexual test strawberry fields. You can use another sexual test or game, something still kind of light, but something that definitely frames the woman more sexually. Then you want to use light sexual cold reads, like we talked about in Unleashing the Sexual Side of a Woman, and you'll use those cold reads in a ladder. So you'd use a light sexual cold read, a medium sexual cold read, and a heavy sexual cold read. And you can refer back to the Unleashing a Woman's Sexual Side to hear what those are. Then that's kind of all in comfort. In comfort, the majority of your sexuality is going to be sexual storytelling, sexual cold read ladders, and that's basically it. And you're going to measure that against comfort material. You're going to kind of match one thing that builds comfort with one thing that injects sexuality. One thing that builds comfort, one thing with sexuality. Then, as we're getting into arousal, you want to start using sexual statements of intent. Things like, if nobody was here right now, I would bend you over the table and take care of business. Or things like, you know, no, you have no idea what I'm thinking about doing to you. Things that now start to bring up sex and getting sexual in a much more personalized way and in a way that is going to get the woman involved. After that, you would use sexual qualifiers. Things like, do you spit or swallow? You know, what kind of kisser are you on a 1 to 10 scale? What's your favorite place to be kissed? What are you into sexually? All of that stuff is happening either right before you're going to bounce the girl or as you're bouncing her and getting her back to your house or, you know, back from the date. And then lastly, you're going to use dirty talk. As you're really into arousal and you're getting ready, as you're making out to move to the bedroom, that's when you'll use dirty talk to really get the woman aroused and worked up. So it goes teases, jokes, role plays, innuendo, sexual storytelling, strawberry fields, light sexual cold reads, medium sexual cold read, heavy sexual cold read in a sexual cold read ladder, sexual statements of intent, sexual qualifiers, and lastly, dirty talk. So now you have a rough idea of where you should be at each part of the model when it comes to injecting sexuality. So you won't overdo it and do sexual statements of intent like telling the girls you're trying to get in their pants in the first 5 minutes. The last thing I want to talk about, which I've talked about before last week on the call about nonverbal seduction, is the line between arousal and foreplay. And this is an important part to keep in mind because any time you cross this line, you are now in danger of dealing with buyer's remorse. And what buyer's remorse is the feeling that women get when they get too sexual too quickly with a man they just met. Now, this could be on the first date. It could be the first night you met them. It could be making out in the first few minutes. It could be approaching you and telling you you're hot when she's drunk, having you finger her in a club. It could even be having a one-night stand. So it's really important that we minimize the buyer's remorse so that we have a chance to see the girl again. So the line basically crosses when you start to play with her private areas. So even if she's letting you do this, and it's in a place that's situationally inappropriate or situationally not relevant, then you've probably crossed this foreplay arousal line and you're now basically going to have sex with her really quickly or possibly lose your shot with her if she decides that things went out of control. So it's really important that you don't cross the arousal foreplay line until you're in a place where you actually can have sex with her, where she's going to be comfortable. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, it has to be back at your apartment in your bed. If she's comfortable having sex outside, if she's comfortable having sex in a bathroom, if she's comfortable having sex, you know, out in a park, all those places work, but you have to make sure that she's comfortable and that you're in somewhat of a private place where she's comfortable that you guys can go all the way. You don't want a place where you're going to get interrupted or where she's going to feel uncomfortable or awkward or she's going to feel like you're going to get broken up or in trouble. So you want to find a place where she is very, very comfortable, and you want to kind of keep releasing and keep pushing her away until you find that place where you can really get on her and take things all the way to completion. So that's kind of what needs to happen with arousal and foreplay. Now we're going to jump into the juicy stuff. We're going to jump into applying the seduction roadmap at night. So when I say that we're applying the seduction roadmap at night, we're going to be discussing applying the seduction roadmap in a bar or club or a crowded party on a cold approach, meaning you won't be introduced by anyone else and you'll have to start conversations yourself. So the way to look at this is as a rough outline. It's basically guidelines for what's going to happen with a few major waypoints where you're going to start applying the techniques. This is in no way a step-by-step, minute-by-minute, second-by-second, if she does this, you do that guide for picking up women. This is more of an overall guide to applying these tactics in a way that works in the real world and will get you amazing success. So it's important that as you look at these things, you see the places where they can be flexible. Just because the first step is going to be opening, if you open, if a girl opens you or, you know, you're introduced as by a friend or you come into a friend's set as a wingman, you still can kind of follow the basic ideas of this roadmap. You know, if the girl is escalating things or invites you to the bar, you still have ways of kind of figuring out where you are so that you can move forward and start using the skills that you've learned from the first four calls. So let's start at the beginning, as all systems for meeting women should start, with opening and beginning a conversation. So I'm not going to get too detailed into a lot of these steps, because a lot of it is stuff you guys have probably heard before and can research on the internet and will be augmented with the material in the rest of this course. So the first step is to open, to start a conversation. You have to start a conversation. You can't rely on the women you're attracted to come talk to you. You can't rely on your friends to start talking to them. You can't rely on any of that stuff, like gimmick or dressing weird or anything like that. So you want to pick a girl you're interested in, whether she's in a group or not, and approach. Don't get too bogged down by the idea of group theory or anything like that right now. Right now, the idea is you've got a girl you're interested in. If she's in a group, you're going to go talk to the whole group until you can get isolation with her. If she's by herself, you're going to talk to her, ask her where her friends are, and deal with the friends later. But it's a big kind of thing in the community to sit there and think about all of the various different ways you could approach a girl until the girl herself has either gone to the dance floor or the bathroom, or, you know, her group has joined another group behind a velvet rope or something. Just get into the conversation. So what you want to do is you want to have three different openers from the various types of openers. It doesn't really matter. They're all pretty much equal. It really comes down to what you're comfortable with, what you like using, and what you're getting a good reaction from. If what you like using isn't working for you, you want to switch it up. But if you've got something that works, that starts conversations more than, you know, 60, 70% of the time, then you want to just stick with that, because you don't need to have a great opener. The purpose of the opener is literally just to start a conversation so that you can do all the other stuff that leads to getting laid. You can open with basically anything. So pick three various types of openers. So for terms of types of openers, I'll give you guys a quick rundown for those who don't know anything. There's opinion openers, where you ask a girl for an opinion, like, do you think drunk I love yous count? And then you give the girl a kind of story about why you're asking, and then transition. Those are good because they allow you to tease the girl on her answer. Whatever she answers with, you can say is wrong and tease her on. There's shocker openers. These are kind of high-risk, high-reward openers, like Brad P's Horse Girl, which you can Google. or, you know, asking the girl if you slept with her last night, or asking girls for opinions on whether or not you should sleep with your secretary or pay your child support. They're things that are really over the top that gain value through social dominance, which we talked about in the sexual attraction section. There's direct openers, which let the girl know that you're interested in her, or the group. Things like, hey, you guys looked cool, I wanted to come meet you, I'm John. There are bet openers, where you say you had a bet that she's, you know, a certain nationality. You can use that, you know, or if they're in a group, you had a bet about how they knew each other or, you know, what they did for a living. You can open with cold reads. You can open by guessing, you know, where a girl's from or what she does for a living also. Or, you know, by giving a warm read of what sort of clothes she's wearing, stuff like that. You can also do a role play opener, an opener where you create a fun fantasy scenario for either the girl or the group. I like to do ones that, like, if the girl's by herself, that, like, she was waiting for me and we're on a blind date. You can use functional openers, like bumming a cigarette, asking what time it is, asking if they know where the bathroom is, if they know, you know, what time the club closes. Those won't get you that far, but they're good to start with if you can't do anything else. And you can use observational openers. You can observe things about the group, things about the place, things about the girl herself, things about other guys in the bar, things about people who were talking to them, waitresses, whatever. And those are basically all your types of openers. So pick two or three of those that you're going to use in different situations. So maybe write one that's like mixed set opener. I'm going to use an opinion opener. Those work really good on that, on mixed sets. Maybe with a girl by herself, you're going to use a direct opener. Those don't work best on girls by themselves. And maybe with, you know, an all-girl group, you're going to use a, you know, cold read opener. And then you go out, and that's what you do in those situations. Make it easy on yourself so there's not as much thinking involved or trying to figure out the perfect approach. Step two is all about creating social comfort. So social comfort is kind of one of my constructs. Basically, as you open and as you're, before you can start building attraction, you have to make the girl or group of people comfortable talking to you. And that doesn't mean that they're attracted to you. It doesn't mean that they want to be your best friends. It doesn't mean that they want to buy you shots. It means that if I came up and asked them immediately after talking to you, they just say you seemed like a nice guy or you seemed cool. You don't have an agenda. You're not putting social pressure on them. You're not awkward. You're not weird. You're not searching for validation. You're not bragging or doing any of the things that just generally are social faux pas and are things that, unfortunately, a lot of guys who come to learn this stuff accidentally do just because they never learned any better. You can find a lot of resources for my stuff on social comfort on my blog, but I want to give you just five of the best techniques for maintaining social comfort. Number one is learning to use questions and statements. So when it comes to questions, they're like money in the bank early on. You don't want to ask questions that don't lead to anything. And when you ask a question, you have to follow up with something really good. So, for example, if I ask a girl where she's from, I'm going to only do that because I'm following it up with something. Like, I might tease her on where she's from, or I might, you know, use that question to relate to her and tell her about something I know about there or ask a question about there. I might, you know, use it to tell a story. But I'm never just going to ask a question and hope the girl gives me something to talk about, because that's putting the conversational burden on them, and you approached them, they didn't approach you. So the burden to keep the conversation fun and interesting is on you, not on them. So you can turn questions into statements. So, for example, instead of asking a girl where she's from, I might say, oh, my God, you're totally from Orange County. Or I might, you know, say, oh, let me guess, you know, you're going to college for communications. Or let me guess, you're trying to find a rich husband at the club. And these turning statements like, what are you up to tonight, or, you know, what do you do for a living, into statements makes them much more powerful and doesn't make you a social leech where you're hoping that they're gonna do something for you and make the conversation interesting. Number two, current events. Knowing about things that are either going on locally, at the bar, you know, down the street from the bar, around the bar, or things that are going on more nationally. Stay away from politics and religion, obviously, but things like sports, you know, local happenings, big movies, pop culture events, you know, funny sitcoms and TV shows that people watch. Having a wealth of material about things that are current and popular will really give you stuff to talk about to build that social comfort, that superficial level of kind of getting to know people. Number three, relating. The process of learning to relate to other people and empathize and spin off of their points is really powerful in social comfort. People will give you a lot to work with, but you've got to know how to turn that around into something that you can talk about to take the pressure off of them and so that it doesn't become an interview. And relating is the art of kind of taking things people say and relating it to yourself so that you can do the number four skill, which is grounding. And grounding is basically talking about yourself, your experiences, in a way that lets people kind of know what you're about. I talk a lot about how I grew up, you know, how I move around, how I'm a writer, all these things that easily are parts of our day-to-day life that kind of build familiarity with you so that people kind of get an idea of what sort of person you are, what your character or whatever you're projecting yourself to be is. And the grounding is a big part of that. It's talking about yourself. It's the way you want to talk about yourself in the beginning, to make yourself seem down to earth and to make it so that they can understand where you've come from and what kind of person you are. And lastly, conversational ratios. In the beginning, you want to do like 75% of the talking to their 25%. 90-10, which is the rule that's out there, is a little extreme. You don't have to watch that much of it, but you do want to do the majority of the talking, about about three times as much as the girls are doing, not nine times as much, but about three. So by controlling that, you'll keep conversations interesting, you'll keep them moving along, which is a big skill for anyone trying to pick up girls. Step number three is breaking rapport. And breaking rapport is the mechanism that we're going to use to move into what's kind of loosely thought of as the attraction phase. I don't like to separate attraction, comfort, and seduction because I think they happen oftentimes all at once and they're kind of happening minute by minute and cycling. So it's important that we kind of, as we jam into the attraction phase, which the kind of mechanism to do that is through breaking rapport, we can also start to then rebuild rapport and comfort and attraction and seduction kind of all at once moving towards sex. And that's kind of the goal of the seduction roadmap. So we're going to talk about moving into attraction. We're going to talk about moving into comfort with qualification. And we're going to talk about moving into arousal with going sexual and breaking rapport again. So breaking rapport manifests itself twice. It's basically where we're going to thrust a lot of emotion into things. It's part of that pushing that I was talking about when I was talking about differentiating push from pull in the earlier part of this call. So breaking rapport basically refers to doing something intentionally to undermine the rapport that we've already built, either during social comfort or, you know, rapport-based comfort. So examples of rapport breaking include teasing. This is going to be the most common way you're going to break rapport to get into attraction is you're going to tease. Teasing is fun, it's playful, it's not serious. The girl should never actually think you dislike her. You can also disqualify. Disqualifiers work very similar to teases, except they're giving reasons as to why the two of you don't match up, which is assuming a relationship, which is also good. They also have a little bit of a pushback factor in that when you disqualify a girl, a lot of the times they will move to qualify themselves. So getting her qualifying, building momentum moving forward also happens when you disqualify. You can disagree with girls, purposely cause a fight. Not like a real fight or an angry fight, but you can just disagree with her, kind of mock indignation, playfully, you know, mess with her and tell her she's wrong. You can backturn her, physically, you know, break rapport with your body language. You can do a takeaway, actually leave. You don't want to do that unless you've already built some attraction, but you can break rapport again by doing a takeaway. You can break rapport by going sexual. Usually you're going to use this to when you're going into arousal from comfort as opposed to when you're going into attraction from social comfort, but you can definitely make a sexual comment and that will break rapport as well. You can exclude the girl from the conversation early on. That breaks rapport. You know, kind of give your attention other ways, game girls in her group who aren't her. And you can also show direct interest. That also breaks rapport. When you give a statement of intent, that will break rapport because it makes the girl actually have to make a decision, which breaks the rapport, which kind of ignores the fact that at some point she is going to have to, you know, either choose to escalate the interaction or not. So there's a lot of different ways to break rapport. In the beginning, I recommend you all experiment with teasing and disqualifying and maybe disagreeing with, and maybe excluding. And then the rest of them you can kind of mess around with as your calibration gets better. But don't forget to use all of them at some point, and especially when you're in comfort and you need to break rapport to generate that emotional momentum to vault forward into arousal. So the next step is to build sexual attraction. So we wanna focus on building the sexual attraction. As much as we are in an attraction phase, we're more focused on the building of sexual attraction. So let's one more time go through our tools for building sexual attraction. Number one, sexualized touching. The touch that lingers. The sexy touch that I talked about in our second call. Number two, sexualized teasing. Teases that get that joking sexuality in there. Things like, whoever your boyfriend is, he doesn't spank you enough. Spilling a little bit of drink on her and joking that you get girls wet. Stuff like that. That really works. Telling her that if she wants to throw her panties at you, she has to wait. You want to use your relationship ladders. First getting her committed to friendship, then you hitting on her, then you trying to get in her pants, and then ultimately using when we have sex statements. Those start in the sexual attraction phase. Using statements of intent. Remember, we break rapport. We can use a statement of intent to build sexual attraction. Sexual storytelling. Talked about that earlier. Escalating role plays. Role plays that increasingly get more and more sexual and put you and her together. And force escalation with other people. Bait, baiting the girl to escalate things sexually, using negations, things like, oh my God, I should totally not tell you this. Movement, using movement to test her attraction, get her into isolation, and start getting things more sexual. Labeling and pushbacks, like disqualifiers, give her something that she doesn't want. And reverse gender stereotyping. That's a great way to sexualize things, making jokes about how you're on your period, or she just wants you for your body, or she's not going to respect you in the morning. All of that stuff really starts to build that attraction, the emotion of attraction, but in a sexual way, in a way that will lead to the relationship going where you want it to go and not ending up in the friend zone. So once you've built some attraction, you now at night want to gather logistics. And the way we're going to gather logistics is use the magic logistics gathering questions. So these are three questions you're going to sprinkle in to your attraction phase, maybe in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe every 5 minutes. So the first one is the social question that you're going to ask in the first 5 to 10 minutes. What's on the agenda for later? Now, when you ask this, you're going to get one of several responses. First, girls might go, I don't know, what are you doing? And that's why it's really important that you have something going on. So you can use this, the always popular, we're going to an after party, and that could just be having drinks at your house. Now the other thing that might happen is the girls might have plans. They might say, oh, we're going over to Mokai, or, you know, we have to get up early for work. At which point you tease them, you make fun of them, you push. Remember, they're not giving you the answer you want, so we push. They say, oh my God, you guys are losers. We're going to an after party. Maybe if you guys can stay up, you guys can get invited. And you leave the door open that if they change their mind later, when they like you more, you can invite them. And the last thing they'll go is they'll say, I don't know. And then you can go, well, you know, we're having an after party, and if you're really cool, then we'll invite you. But the idea is you're seeding that you could hang out afterwards. The next logistic question is, how did you get here? You're trying to figure out now about 10, 15 minutes in how she got here. Did she drive herself? That's the best. Did she come with friends but she didn't drive? That's good. Did she meet friends at the venue and she walked or took a cab? That's good. Is she the driver? That's bad. Figuring out her logistics are really important because you got to know if she can leave her group or if she's stuck with them all night because she's driving. You also want to know how far away she lives. So where do you live is another logistics gathering question. And lastly, what do you have going on tomorrow? You want to find out, does she have to get up for work at 6 a.m.? Does she, you know, not have to be up till 11? And look for cues that girls are answering these questions without having to ask, because every now and then, you'll get a girl making it really obvious to you that she's up for the same night lay. She might say something like, yeah, I don't have anything to do tomorrow. It's my day off. Or, you know, yeah, I took a cab here so I can drink as much as I want. Or, you know, my friends left me, so now I'm just going to hang out with you for a little bit. But those things will let you know that she's interested, and that she's letting you know that logistics are there and they are available for the taking. So be aware of gathering logistics. So what's going to happen when you gather logistics is some girls are going to have good logistics, meaning they drove themselves or they, you know, met up with their friends there or they didn't have to drive. And some girls are going to have bad logistics. So what's going to happen is you're now going to want to complete the seduction roadmap to the farthest extent you can take it. So if a girl has bad logistics, she has to get up at 6 a.m. the next day. What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to build that sexual attraction, qualify her, set up a strong date, and set as many of the sexual frames and all that stuff as you can, and then get a phone number and set up a date for a specific time and place. Now, if the woman has good logistics, then you want to keep basically doing the same thing. You want to start qualifying her. Once you have attraction, you want to start building up the qualifiers, starting with those small hoops, building medium hoops, and large hoops. Once a woman answers a large hoop, which is a blatantly qualifying question, like, what do you have going for you more than your looks, or why should I get to know you, then you can move on into comfort. And in comfort, you're going to mix grounding, which is talking about yourself, seating the date, which you're going to do whether or not you're going for the same night lay, because it makes it way more likely that you'll get it. Mixing your sexual frames in, unleashing her sexual side tools like cold reads, sexual qualifiers, and amping up the nonverbal seduction. So basically, as we're going through comfort, once a girl answers a large qualifier, we're going to complete the seduction roadmap. That means we're going to start using sexual frames, then we're going to ground to talk about ourselves, do a little fluff, then we're going to use some cold reads, go back to normal, do a little fluff, then we're going to, you know, do some sexual qualifiers, and all the while we're going to be increasing the physicality and the non-verbal seduction. And anytime the girl starts to get uncomfortable, we're going to use our releases and push away. And anytime she really seems to get into it, we're going to pull her in more, and we're going to use that pulling stuff to escalate the interaction and move things forward and allow her space to escalate. So we're always going to be pushing when she's not going with it, pulling when she is. Push and pull all the way to the bedroom. One thing you'll find is the elements of the seduction roadmap cycle. And a lot of the time, you're going to find yourself using all three elements at once. You're going to be doing things like cold reads that build comfort, but also open up the woman's sexual side. You're going to do sexual teasing or statements of intent that build comfort and escalate, but also build attraction. So don't get too caught up in what goes into what phase as much as you go into what goes into the timeline and what has to happen before you can start to complete the roadmap, meaning you have to have sexual attraction and you have to get her to open to answer a large qualifying question. Then you're going to go to the bounce slash the types of clothes. So once you've determined logistics, you're going to choose from the options. First, you're always going to want to set up a date, and that means seating a date, setting up a specific time at a specific place, getting a phone number. I've talked about that a million times. You guys know how to do that. Then your second option is bounce for a same-night lay that night, and that bounce is going to be to her place or your place. Her place or your place. If you're bouncing for an SNL, you're not going to another club, you're not going to a diner, you're not going to check out, you know, something to eat. You're just going to one of the two of you guys' places. Like, it has to be kind of subtext that you're about to get it on. You could also bounce to another club. Now, here you're going to basically, you're going to get the power of the venue change, but unless it's you and her, you might still have to deal with a cock block. You might, you know, it's loud. You can't really get to know her that much in the club. It doesn't really help you all that much, but it does extend the night and build compliance for getting a girl to go to and go home with you. So if you can't get her to go home with you right away, but you can get her to leave, get her to go to another place that's lower energy. We always want to be lowering the energy, lowering the energy, lowering the energy. Another option, if she has bad logistics, but it's really on and you set a lot of sexual frames and built a lot of kind of sexuality into the interaction, is you can call her once the clubs close. right? So you can do what we call drunk and lonely, where you call or text the girl in that half an hour to 2 hour window after the club's closed, 2 to 4 if you're on the West Coast, 4 to 6 if you're on the East Coast, and you just send something like, hey, sexy, where are you at? And you're trying to basically hit that window where she's dropped her friends off or left her friends or they think she's going home, and now she can go have sex with you without anyone knowing and maintaining her reputation. And lastly, if it's really, really on and things are getting physical, you could try for the in-venue lay, like the bathroom or the alley or outside or something. And those, you know, are going to be a certain type of girl, but when you do get the right type of girl, they do happen, and they are a possibility. Once you're really advanced, you don't want to try to go for the in-venue lay too early because you'll mislay opportunities that you would have otherwise gotten. Okay, so that's the seduction roadmap at night. Now let's talk about applying the seduction roadmap during the day. And for during the day, we're basically going to be referring to approaches outside of bars and clubs, generally of a single girl. We're not going to be approaching groups here. We're not going to be, you know, approaching guys and girls. We're not going to be approaching, you know, big moving groups of people as they walk down the street. We're not really talking about hitting on waitresses or coffee shop baristas, or, you know, girls who are working during the day. We're basically talking about girls who are out about the day, going about their business at the mall, at the grocery store, at, you know, on the street, you know, at various places that are just not bars and clubs and not necessarily social. So step one, as with every step one, is going to be opening. And here you're going to choose an opener based on type. So it's either going to be direct or indirect. Generally, if you sense that you have less than 10 minutes, you're going to go direct. If you sense that you have more than 10 minutes, you're going to go indirect. If you're going direct, you're basically saying something like, hey, I know this is really random, but I noticed you and I had to take the chance to embarrass myself to come meet you. I'm John. If you're going indirect, you're using an opinion opener, a shocker opener, a pre-opener, which is like a functional opener, followed by a role play, something like, hey, do you know where the Starbucks is? And then if the girl says yes, you go, hey, you're totally hired as my personal shopper. If she says no, you go, oh, my God, you're totally fired as my personal assistant. And then you try to roll into the next step, which is social comfort. And in social comfort during the day, we want to make her commit to the conversation before we start making it comfortable for her. So when it comes to getting the girl to commit to the conversation, we're going to use a couple of things. First, we're going to use bait. So I might say something like, oh, my God, you know, I totally have an intuition about you, but I don't think I can tell you this early on. Or, you know what, you totally remind me of my friend Miranda, but, you know, that I don't want to offend you, so I can't tell you what that means. You also want to use things like hooks when you're talking about yourself. So basically, in social comfort, we're going to kind of ground ourselves. We want to talk about ourselves a little bit, things we're interested in, what we do for a living maybe, what we're doing out at the mall, or wherever we approached her during the day. And then we want to use hooks, things like unanswered questions, like, you know, it's a shame that I travel so much because I hate flying, but I'm in the wrong business, you know? Or, you know, my friends hate my job because it means that they're always, you know, seeing things about themselves they don't necessarily want. But these are hooks to make the girl kind of ask you things about yourself and invest in the interaction. So using hooks and bait, you should be able to get the girls to commit to the conversation really quickly. You can also use check-ins and false time constraints. A check-in is something like, you have been in a situation like that before, right? Or, you know what I'm talking about. And a false time constraint is something just like, you know, I only have 5 minutes, or, you know, I can see you have to go, but real quick. And those will all help to hook a girl into social comfort. And then once she's committed to the interaction, you build that social comfort. So you hook her first with hooks, bait, false time constraints, and check-ins, and then and mixed in with kind of grounding and even social questions, things like, what are you up to today? And then from there, you build social comfort using the 5 techniques we talked about in the last part of this call on applying the seduction roadmap at night. Next, we want to break rapport. So here, we're going to want to use teasing, and if you're comfortable, even use sexual teasing. It's really important to tease during the day because it shows that you're playful. It shows that you're not intimidated by the girl. It shows that you're not taking the interaction too seriously, and it passively sets the frame that you're a little bit cooler than her. By approaching her, you're passively setting the frame that she's a little bit cooler than you because you came up to her. So by teasing her, you're bringing her back down a little bit, showing her that you're not intimidated by her, and even though you're interested in her, you don't think that she's better than you, and you're not scared that she's not going to like you. So it's really important that you tease, unless it's going really, really well. If it's going really, really well and she's asking you a lot of questions, giving you a lot of signals, then you don't want to break that rapport. But if she's just kind of being polite, but she's into the conversation, then you want to break rapport to start giving it that little bit of sexual edge. Because what happens with social comfort is once it's established, your teasing becomes 10 times more powerful. Because when you try to tease or disqualify a girl before she is comfortable and wants to talk to you, you just end up getting rejected. But if you can tease a girl once she already wants to talk to you, then she's going to really feel that she wants to win you back over because she wants to get back to that comfortable state of being that existed in the social comfort. So teasing, really important during the daytime. Break rapport just by teasing. If you want to get a little more crazy, use sexual teasing, but don't do anything else to break rapport. Light teasing is really, really powerful during the day. So that's what we're going to want to do. And you don't want to overdo it. You don't need to consistently break rapport. You just want to do it once to gain that little bit of emotional momentum to move forward. And next we're going to move forward. We're going to try to skip the attraction phase. If you do a good approach during the day and you hook a set and you start to build social comfort, most of the time you'll have the attraction you need because there's not a lot of competition and you gain some emotional compliance when you teased her. So here we want to focus our conversation on qualification and comfort as quickly as we can. Daytime pickups are shorter because the girls have real time constraints, meaning they have to go to the doctor, they have to go pick up their dry cleaning, they have to get back to work, they have to eat. So because of that, we want to build commitment as quickly as we can, meaning we want to get them working for us through qualification. We want to build compatibility and rapport and comfort, and we want to come up with a reason to see her again as quickly as we can. If we do those things, then we're going to have a lot more successful pickups. So the key is that mixture of qualification and comfort. We're going to balance between qualification and comfort. And here we can also start to use sexual frames to qualify her. So I might, as I'm qualifying the girl, use the sexual frame that she's independent. You know, I might say, I can tell you're independent and frame her for that. I might use strawberry fields. I might frame her as someone who's passionate. I might figure out if she's physical or emotional. But all these things are going to happen much quicker and are going to happen moving towards the goal of getting a phone number. Because when it comes to the daytime, the thing is very unpredictable. I had a really good set going the other day with a girl in Neiman Marcus, and then her mom showed up and wanted her to try on dresses. And it was kind of awkward to try to get her phone number in front of her mom, and I ended up losing the set. So you never know what's going to happen. That's why you want to get the phone number as quick as possible, 10, 15 minutes at the most, and then that qualifying is what's really going to make your numbers solid. Now, after that, you're going to need to gather logistics a little bit. And when it comes to gathering logistics during the daytime, you're basically looking to see if you're going to instant date or if you're going to set up a date and get a phone number. So you have to figure out how long the girl can hang out. If she has a lot of time, you want to go for the instant date and eventually try to pull her back to your place. So I might say something like, you know, what's on the agenda for today? Or what are you doing the rest of today? What's the rest of your day look like? You know, what do you got to do later? And the point is, I want to see, okay, she's shopping for a couple hours, and then she has to be at a family dinner at 4, but it's noon right now. Well, now I know I can definitely instant date her. Maybe I can't bring her back to my place, but maybe I can, you know, get a really solid connection. Maybe I can even make out with her, you know, maybe even change venues from the mall or wherever I met her to somewhere else. right? The more time you spend with them, the more solid things are going to be, and the more time you can use the seduction roadmap. I can instant date her, you know, sit down in the food court, run a bunch of sexual frames, build a lot of, like, stuff, and then I can number close her and set up a date for later, and or number close her and set up a date for after she's done with her parents' picnic. That's kind of the same day model for daytime that I find is most effective is you guys break up. Just last Monday, I met a girl at the food court at the mall, started talking to her about how her internet on her computer wasn't working, and then turns out she was from Vancouver. She's a former fitness model, and she didn't really have anyone in town. She's just here for a month to relax from Vancouver. She owns her own business. And, you know, I was like, well, let's go out for drinks tonight. Ended up 9 hours later, I had sex with her from meeting her in the food court, and we didn't hang out for about 4 hours of that time. You know, I met her for about an hour and then called her a couple hours later. We hung out and had sex after a few hours. So when you're going for the same day thing, you're looking for a period of separation where you got to go do what you got to do, but then that continued emotional momentum. Now, if she has a real time constraint, if she's like, oh, I have to get back to the office, or, you know, I'm meeting some friends for lunch, then you want to get her number and set up a date. And again, setting up a specific date at a specific time at a specific place. You don't have to go on that date, but psychologically getting the girl to commit to that will make the date a lot more likely to actually happen, as opposed to just saying you want to hang out sometime or, you know, whatever. So those are your kind of logistics during the day. One thing to keep in mind is that instant dates equal real dates. During the majority of daytime stuff, you're going to have to tone down the nonverbal seduction, meaning toning down the touching, toning down the personal space, toning down the trying to kiss her, all of that stuff. So on an instant date, you can begin to ratchet up the nonverbal seduction and can even go so far as to kiss a girl you met, you know, 10 minutes ago during the daytime. And that'll work because the number one test of attraction is movement. If a woman is willing to move with you, then she's at least in some small way attracted to you, and she's giving you a really big signal that she's comfortable enough to move with you somewhere where you could take advantage of her. So when it comes to escalation on day game, you're not going to do anything unless you get on an instant date. If you can change stores with her at the mall or go from the grocery store to get a cup of coffee or from the bookstore to grab a burrito, then you can start to ratchet up the touching and do all the stuff that you would do at night and that I discussed on the nonverbal seduction call. So keep it kind of slow and steady until you're actually on the instant date, because then the whole dynamics and psychology change. Instead of being a pickup, you're now together. And when you're together, the rules of what you can and can't do change a whole lot. So keep that in mind. Okay. We're getting to the end of our call here, so I want to recap what we've covered. First, we covered the basics for applying the seduction roadmap. We talked about calibration, how you calibrate in the real world, how you're looking to see what's socially and situationally relevant and acceptable. You're looking to see how comfortable you can get outside your comfort zone. You're looking for the difference between push and pull and when to apply each of those. You have a rough outline on how to get sexual verbally, starting with jokes, role plays, et cetera, and ending with dirty talk. And we talked about the difference between arousal and foreplay and how to not go over those boundaries until you're in a place where you can actually take advantage of it. Then we learned the specific step-by-step application of the seduction roadmap in the real world at both night and during the day. At night, we know we need to open, build social comfort, break rapport, and then gather logistics as we're building sexual attraction. Once we've gathered logistics and built attraction, we're going to qualify to a large qualifier, complete the seduction roadmap, and then based on logistics, either go for the date, the same night lay, the bounce to another club, the call after we met, or the in-venue lay. During the day, we're going to open, build social comfort, break rapport, focus on qualification and comfort and bouncing between those two rather than trying to build attraction, followed by figuring out her logistics and going for either the instant date or the number close or the same day date where you two don't talk to each other for a few hours, get stuff done, and then meet up later after a period of time to go on a date. So that's the basics of how to apply the seduction roadmap. We'll cover the advanced steps in the video course. But I want to end, as we've ended all of these calls, with a couple of exercises. So exercise number one, I want you to look at the fundamental basics of the seduction roadmap and rank yourself on a 1 to 10 scale in the following areas. Number one, calibration. Number two, getting outside of your comfort zone. Number three, paying attention to signals, but not becoming reliant on them. Number four, differentiating push from pull. And number five, getting sexual. Find your weakest area and dedicate the next week to formulating a plan on this. So if paying attention to signals is your biggest problem, then that's what you're working on next week. If it's calibration, that's what you're focusing on. But the idea is you want to start building your weakest areas, because when you see improvement in that, you'll see improvement in all of your strongest areas as well. Your second exercise is going to be putting together the entire process in your mind to form an intellectual understanding of this. So I want you to pick either a night or day approach situation. Now, going back through the entire seduction roadmap program, I want you to fill in the blanks from starting a conversation to having in sex. Not when and how you would use each routine and concept you've learned, but after that, you'll want to visualize the entire process until it starts to make sense emotionally, meaning it feels right and it feels like it would work. So you're going to write down, okay, I would open with this opener, picking an opener from the categories we've talked about and the millions of resources out there. Then you're going to build social comfort. What are you going to do to build social comfort? There's five techniques in this call. There's a bunch more on my blog. Then you're going to break rapport. How are you going to break rapport? What tactic are you going to use for breaking rapport? What actual line are you going to use? What tactics for sexual attraction are you going to use? How are you going to test for isolation? How are you going to test for qualification? How are you going to start to set sexual frames? By writing it all out, you'll get a sense of how it comes to mesh together, which will actually aid your calibration process as you go through the real-world experience that will build your skills to allow you to use this in a variety of situations, not just the ones that we've talked about here. So write it out. Use all of the stuff from the previous four calls to fill in your imaginary scenario. You can even compare it to your sheet that I had you write down in the first call, where I had you write down, I meet a girl and then we have sex, and see how much comprehension you've gained from the last five courses and audio programs. So once you've done that, you're ready to start applying this stuff out in the real world. So go out and start where you're at and baby step it through until you can get all the way through the process that you wrote about and visualize. And the more you visualize it, the better things will go, and the more you'll start to understand timing and rhythm and all of that stuff that you really can only learn from the School of Hard Knocks. So that's going to wrap up the core of our course. Our first audio was on social and sexual anxiety. Our second was on sexual attraction. Our third was on setting sexual frames. Our fourth was on unleashing a woman's sexual side. And the fifth one was on nonverbal seduction. And now the sixth module is all about putting everything together and how to use the seduction roadmap in specific situations. So now you've got all the information you need and you're ready only for application. So get out there and approach as many women as you can and try to use this stuff, because you'll have a lot of fun and amazing results in the process. Hope that helps all of you, and keep those questions coming. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.